Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. It's a very strange situation. I'm in my attic, as I've been for a few months, but the camera is broken. So we're not doing the show the regular way. I'm apparently, let me check my notes, I'm on FaceTime, Will. You're going to have to do all the heavy lifting, all the beautiful words I've written, you're going to read, and it's going to make you sound like one of the great writers of all time.
Yeah.
So take it away.
Let's not let the audience think that you sit and write the show, okay? But we'll just bypass all of that braggadocio and begin with basketball's reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. We still don't know, Tony, if he's going to play tonight in Game 5 against Miami. Don't know yet. Antetokounmpo was knocked out of Game 4, as you know, the only game Milwaukee has won, re-injuring an already injured ankle. So, Tony, could tonight be it for Giannis's time with the Milwaukee Bucks?
So it's really odd how things happen in this regard. Toronto had that incredible shot and then won two games in a row against Boston. Boston staggered a little bit, but then Boston came back and crushed them yesterday, just crushed them. I don't anticipate, and I don't think you do either, Milwaukee being able to win two games in a row without their best player. So if they go out, then decisions have to be made. I would say this, you know more about Antetokounmpo leaving than I do, if and when he would leave and how they would arrange that, because it might have to be a trade. I would think that the coach, Coach Boud, he might be in a little bit more of a dicey situation than Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Because, Mike, it's the Marty Schottenheimer syndrome. He's a great regular season coach. He was great in Atlanta, but not good in the playoffs. Let me get the number correct. 32-31 in the playoffs. That's not good. It's not good enough.
No, Tony, they got a lot of problems there, and it could be the last game. Because when you go out like this in the second round, and look, maybe they win another game. Maybe the narrative starts to change whether or not Giannis plays. I know people are going to get to, what do you guys expect? I have no idea. People there on the scene in the bubble have no idea. So, Tony, let me just go over this. You know, when they got rid of Malcolm Brogdon, who, as far as I was concerned, was the second most important player.
Yep.
Okay, Middleton's a better player. Okay, if you rank them, he's your number two guy. But Brogdon was the second most important player. They let him walk. They let him become he was a free agent. They didn't match it. They let him walk to Indiana, a division rival.
Right.
I told you then, this is the beginning of the end of Giannis's time in Milwaukee. Because if you're not going to keep the band together when they're in ascension, what the hell's he waiting for? And, Tony, I would think, it's like if you're Milwaukee, a small market, what do you do? Do you just wait for him to walk away and have nothing in return?
No, you
do
have
you
to get
try
a trade.
And what do you do? It's just,
well, you have to get a trade. I mean, I'm less concerned, honestly, with what Milwaukee does than where Antetokounmpo might end up. There were three teams that stood out to me. One is Miami, because they could really use him, and they're good enough with him
to
contend
win
for a championship in the East.
Yeah.
Golden State. I mean, he could be for them what Durant was for them. And the other team I thought of was Boston, in the sense that Boston has a great history with big men, going all the way back to number six.
Yeah,
great,
but they play, they're doing something else. I can't see that, Tony. Look, you know the talk is going to be about New York.
No,
right?
He shouldn't go there. No, they're not ready to win.
I wouldn't think so, but it's just sad. I'm 90 miles. I sit 90 miles from Milwaukee right now. I've grown up with Milwaukee, with seeing Milwaukee rise with the likes of Henry Aaron. I mean, Milwaukee's had stars and Lou Alcindor, and then to a lesser degree, Molitor and Yount. They've had some star players, Tone. This would be a devastating blow with a new arena and a reconfigured downtown, a re-energized metropolitan area because of Giannis. It's a big deal, man. And tonight, we don't even know. We don't even know. The Rockets and Lakers take the court for Game 3 tonight later. But no matter what happens in this series, Houston GM Daryl Morey says he wants Mike D'Antoni back as head coach. Morey told USA Today that signing D'Antoni to a new deal is his number one priority. The Pelicans and especially the Pacers are also said to be really interested in D'Antoni. Tony, you surprised the Rockets, after not extending him last summer, appear to want D'Antoni back.
Yeah, surprised wouldn't even half of it. I mean, what? Like, I sit there and I hear, it's like, what? What are you talking about? First of all, I don't know how secure your Northwestern pal Daryl Morey is there to begin with. It seems to me they have a new owner, Tillman Fertitta. Correct me if I'm wrong. He inherited both D'Antoni and Daryl Morey. They are not his picks. He took them. He looked at D'Antoni. I am totally confident that D'Antoni didn't get an extension because the owner said, I don't want to give it to him. Not just the general manager.
Right.
And the general manager, and I know you boys, but the owner didn't like what happened with the tweet about China. So I could see both of them going. You mentioned there are openings. Let me get this straight. Philadelphia, New Orleans, and Indiana are still open. Doesn't it seem reasonable that one or even more of them are waiting to see what happens with Mike D'Antoni? This more than surprises me. How about you?
Tony, look, when you're around, when you stay there and you have some success, and the owner, while that not being his choice in terms of having hired him, maybe you like him. I mean, first of all, Mike D'Antoni is an incredibly likable guy, just as a man, as a human being. And then you know how hard he works. He's had some success. The only place, New York and L.A., it certainly didn't work out well, but in some other places it has worked out well. Phoenix and to some degree Houston. I am not a believer in small ball, but Mike D'Antoni's coached big people in his life, Amari Stoudemire being one of them. Tony, I don't know how this will play out, but maybe the owner, Tillman Fertitta, maybe he likes D'Antoni a lot more than he did back last summer. We're talking about a year ago, Tony. So look, there's some vacancies out there. There's some other candidates out there. D'Antoni's not the only candidate.
Let me give you the best story.
Suppose they beat the Lakers. Suppose they beat the Lakers. I don't see that happening.
Here's the best story in all of the NBA, Mike. This story. He wins the championship and he walks. He does what Barry Trotz did with the Washington Capitals. The Washington Capitals ownership never publicly supported him. They never extended him. He won the Stanley Cup and he walked. Walked to the Islanders and this year beat the Capitals on the way to where he is now, which is the NHL conference. That's the best story.
That's a really nice big news bears story that you just, bad news bears, I guess. It's Disney-esque, pun intended. But Tony, do you think that the Houston Rockets, as scrappy as they are, as improved defensively as they are, thank you, Elston Turner, James Harden evolved into a defensive player, Russell Westbrook, a new role, all of those great things that point to D'Antoni's fingerprints. Do you think they're going to beat the Lakers and the Clippers? You think that? And then the Eastern Conference? No,
I don't, and neither do you. I don't bet against LeBron.
Don't see that either. The big news from the U.S. Open is that top-seeded Novak Djokovic was defaulted over the weekend for inadvertently, in air quotes, hitting a linesperson in the throat with a tennis ball that he whacked in anger. Djokovic was judged to be reckless in his behavior. John McEnroe, no stranger to behavior, bizarre behavior of different kinds, said, quote, and now, whether he likes it or not, he's going to be the bad guy the rest of his career, meaning Djokovic. It'll be interesting to see how he handles it, close quote. Tone, is Johnny Mac right that Djokovic will be the bad guy the remainder of his career?
That was the favorite lead that I wrote. I read that one very, very well. Congratulations on that.
I'm glad you approved.
As you know, because I was texting you wildly as this was happening, I watched this voraciously. I loved when Patrick McEnroe and Darren Cahill came out there and talked about it. And Patrick McEnroe said that Djokovic had courted this for years because he had behaved like this for a long period of time. I loved when Chris Evert and John McEnroe talked about it. I thought John McEnroe did everything he could to try and get Djokovic back in the tournament. At one point, he even said, well, he's a great player. Shouldn't they keep him around because he's a great player? And finally, he had to concede. It was a bonehead move, and he walked away from it. But in terms of, not his entire career. I think that's John McEnroe, his whole career flashing before his eyes. I think this will be forgotten relatively soon. And let's be fair about one thing. It hit that woman in the throat, and she went right down. If it hit her in the thigh, and she just looked at it, shrugged it off, I'm not sure he'd have been defaulted at all. How about you?
This story confuses me on some levels. I do believe in double standards. I mean, I just do. Double standards in sports, they're as much a part of sports as, you know, walking in the arena and having a seven-inning stretch in baseball and having peanuts and popcorn and Cracker Jacks. I believe in double standards. But Djokovic, if we believe that he's just been guilty of bad judgment, just not just reckless behavior, but bad judgment before, I say throw him out and leave him out. And by the way, Tony, he's chasing Federer. I mean, this becomes a thing to him. He can't control his temper. He's had weird stuff leading up to this. First, he didn't want to play. There was talk about whether or not he would take a vaccine if there was one. I mean, Djokovic, seriously, does Djokovic now think that he's of the order of Michael Jordan or Jim Brown or like the greatest LeBron James? Does he think he's that great? Maybe he thinks that he can just do any damn thing he wants. And if he thinks that, if that's what people, Hall of Famers like Chris Everett, are speaking to, then throw his butt out. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's why I was happy to hear Patrick McEnroe say that this had been a pattern of behavior for a long time. I will tell you an amazing thing, though. This is a statistic that is, I have to go back to 2004, French Open, for the last time that none of Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer were in a semifinal at a major. And since 2005, Mike, those three guys have won 52 of 61.
But two of them weren't even
majors.
Around. Two of them weren't around, so it was kind of weakened. I couldn't come up with Wayne Gretzky's name. I choked on Gretzky. He's not. Djokovic ain't that. He's not Gretzky. He's not Jordan. He's not Jerry Rice. He's not. He may wind up with the greatest number of slams of any male player. I get that. But he is not the only guy. He is not the GOAT. Not now.
Mike,
not Tom
here's
Brady.
Here's who he is.
Not.
He's Larry Holmes following Muhammad Ali.
Okay, Larry Holmes
he comes
is not
at the
Ali.
Tail end of these
not.
Guys, of Nadal and Federer, and he's really, really good. But no, he's not the GOAT.
Larry Holmes is not Ali. We're taking a break. We're coming up. BYU blows out Navy. Does Navy's explanation make sense? And how should Jamal Murray feel about getting his dunk attempt blocked by Kawhi's middle finger? Not the pinky, not the ring finger, not the index, not the thumb. As Eminem once said, the middle finger.
Yeah, I didn't write that. Eric wrote that.
Happies, no, because there were no references that were 137 years old.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
If you're just joining us, Tony's camera broke. So he's joining us via FaceTime. He has no idea what FaceTime is, but he does have the emails. What, Mr. Attica, is first? Bill,
okay. Are you buying that Navy's conservative practices were to blame for their blowout loss to BYU?
Well, in part. I mean, look, this is a really good coach, a really good staff. I think they were 11-2 last year. You know, Tony, they've been good and well-coached for a long time. They decided to take – it wasn't just a conservative approach. They decided to take a careful, cautious approach because they didn't want their players being in harm's way in addition to the usual ways that football players are in harm's way at practice, all the things going on in the world. So as we look at a masked coach. So, yeah, I'm buying it in part. Yes, how about you?
I read that they didn't even have any live tackling drills, that all I did was use tackling dummies. You can't prepare for live people using tackling dummies.
No.
You can't. Navy's got a really good coach. They were not prepared for this. And now BYU will go 8-0 and they'll get in the playoffs. They're the only team where the Rockies playing football. The only team. Here we go.
Yeah.
How should Jamal Murray feel about having his poster attempt denied by Kawhi's middle finger?
He could be like, I don't know, 300 or 400 other guys over the past 8 years or however long Kawhi's been in the league. He's a two-time defensive player of the year. Isn't that some stiff blocking? Isn't that some guy who came in out of the Y? He's Kawhi Leonard. And he got the – that's why he's called the Claw. There's the Claw. And if one piece of the Claw can reject you – first of all, I thought Jamal Murray should just shoot a floater. I mean, the game is close there. They needed that bucket. That's why Kawhi Leonard may be, right now, the best two-way player in basketball, Tony.
So I think it is great that he used his middle finger deliberately and literally and figuratively to block that shot.
Yeah.
On Jamal Murray. His hands are enormous. They're twice the size of Joe Burrow's. But I'm not that excited. It's a 2-1 series.
That's right. Two defensive players of the year. Come on now.
This is the one I'm excited about. Did the Tour Championship feel fair to you?
I don't know if it's fair. It's entertaining. I think it's fine. They've tried other formats. And this format where you start at 10 under and somebody else is 8 under and you go down the list. DJ earned that.
Yeah.
He earned that because he was great. Even though he lost to Rahm here in Chicago at Olympia Fields last week in, you know, extra time. All right, so that's right. I'm giving him a plug.
Good job.
So, Tony.
Good job.
Yes, it's fine. It's fine. He earned that. The rules are stated in advance. He played to them. Other people had the same opportunity. Rahm was 8 under. He didn't win. So good for DJ. I know you don't like DJ, so you'll find some way now to blame the rules.
It's completely unsatisfactory. It's completely unsatisfactory. You don't give the number one player in the world a 10-shot lead on many of the people in the field. 2/3 of the field is eliminated, has no chance to win in this thing.
Good.
Xander Schauffele beat him in this tournament by four strokes and did not win. Scottie Scheffler beat him by one stroke in this tournament and did not win. Justin Thomas tied him and didn't get to go to a playoff.
Should have been better last week.
He's great. It's a lousy format, convention. It's junk.
I like it.
I'm done.
And you should like it too. You complained about all the other formats previously.
Whined. Wasn't fair.
We're taking a break. Still to come, we'll get to my thoughts on the Bears' decision to give Mitchell Trubisky one more crack at the number one job. And are the Celtics finally rid of the Raptors? That's something Tony would write, because I wouldn't suggest that.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Happy time, kids. My camera's out. I'm going to do the reading myself. Happy 30th birthday, Gerrit Cole. Cole was the prize agent from last year when he led the majors in strikeouts to 326 and led the American League in ERA at 250. and went 20-5 for the Astros. In two seasons in Houston, Cole was an eye-popping 35-10 with a 2.68 ERA. But he'd been a Yankee fan all his life, so it was easy for him to sign with the Yankees for 9 years and $324 million, the most ever for a pitcher. Cole started out this weird season like a steal. On August 14th, he was 4-0 with a 2.76 ERA. But the Yankees have lost Cole's last four starts, the most recent on Saturday when the Orioles beat him. Cole is now 4-3 with a 3.63 ERA, and the Yankees are third in their division. Cole has 70 strikeouts in 52 innings, but he's also allowed 13 home runs, the most in all of baseball. Cole raised eyebrows about 1 minute after the Nationals beat the Astros in Game 7 of the World Series, when he swapped his Astros hat for a Scott Boras hat and told the world he was no longer an Astro and was open for business.
You know, I'm of two minds about the Yankees. I love it when I see them in October in Yankee Stadium, and it feels like October because they were there all my childhood. But I'm also, I love it when along the way, everybody acts like it's a tragedy every time they lose a game. I revel in that.
Not so happy anniversary, Evel Knievel. On this day 46 years ago, Knievel attempted to jump a mile-wide stretch the Snake River Canyon in Idaho. Knievel was strapped into what was essentially a rocket and launched up a ramp. Very quickly after taking his parachute deployed, sending the rocket towards the river nowhere near the other side. Knievel was safely rescued. There was some controversy over whether the parachute malfunctioned or Knievel just pulled it deliberately. Evel Knievel was a daredevil. He made his reputation jumping a motorcycle over a swarm of parked cars in Caesar's Palace parking lot in Las Vegas. If you were not alive then, I'll never be able to convince you what a compelling public figure and odd folk hero Knievel was for about an hour and a half, and how tens and millions of people tuned in to watch him put his life in jeopardy by making his jump. These were the 70s, and Evel Knievel provided a respite to the trauma of Watergate. Wilbon, do they even have daredevils anymore?
No, they probably do. They're on those shows every night where people are jumping over pits of water, but there's no alligators in them. When I was a kid, I loved all these Evel Knievel things. I look back on it now and I'm embarrassed that I liked it and bought into it and believed it. We're in a different place in the world. I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Melancholy trails to Lou Brock, the first ballot Hall of Famer, who was best known for his base stealing, died over the weekend at age 81. In 1964, Brock was traded from the Cubs to the Cardinals for pitcher Ernie Broglio in what many think was the most lopsided trade ever. Brock led the Cardinals to a World Series title that year, batting .348 and stealing 33 bases in 103 games. 3 years later, Brock was back winning the World Series, and the next year, Brock was back again, this time losing the World Series to Detroit. Those years were part of a 12-year stretch where Brock averaged 65 steals and 99 runs scored, and batted over 300 six times. When Brock retired, he held the record for the most steals in one season, 118, and the most steals in a career, 938, both of which were later broken by Ricky Henderson. Brock's career batting average was .293, and he had 3,023 hits. But he was even better in the postseason, Mike. In 21 World Series games, Brock batted .391. He had 16 RBI and 14 steals.
He starred in most of my nightmares, Tony. He traded from the Cubs to the Cardinals. We're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. Jadeveon Clowney signed with the Titans. Adrian Peterson joined the Lions. Your thoughts?
Jadeveon Clowney has a lot left. Not sure about Peterson.
The Lightning beat the Islanders 8-2 in game one. Break it down.
8-2 is a bomb. I hope the Islanders are good. I'm an Island kid. Bye.
The Celtics routed the Raptors in game five. You got the Celtics breathing easy now, don't you?
I think they breathe easy. I don't think it's over necessarily, but breathe easy, yes.
Authentic is the horsey that won your Kentucky Derby. You happy with that result?
I wanted Tis the Law. It was a great race. Go.
Last one, the Bears named Mitchell Trubisky the starting quarterback. You excited about that?
Are you excited about it?
Fairly, kind of, sort of. We'll see.
We're out of time, Tony. We got to do better next time. This is terrible.
I'm Mike Wilbon, scheduled for the deuce again tomorrow, knucklehead.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.